Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Technology Uncorked. This show is brought to you by Navman. And I was just recently thinking about Christmas holidays, people going away, and there's a number of people who have the money to go overseas for a vacation. And maybe you're hiring a car when you do that. One of the things I wanted to let you guys know about is that if you've already got a Navman GPS unit, you can actually take it with you for the trip. But before you go, you jump on the Navman website and you can actually download the maps relevant to the country that you're going to. Because here's the thing, hiring a GPS unit from the car company when you get there can be difficult and can be very expensive. And secondly, using your data to navigate around, say, Europe or North America, for example, can also use a lot of data and cost you a lot of money. So you jump on the Navman website, you go through, you can actually rent maps for other regions. So you could say pay $25 for 30 days of maps from North America. Or you can just buy the whole map if maybe you're spending a lot of time or planning on returning for about $90 as well. You put it onto the Navman, you take it with you and away you go. I think this is just such a smart thing to do if you're planning on driving or having a road trip overseas somewhere. Check out Navman and have a safe trip. All right, guys, the wine that I'm drinking tonight, for those who are wondering, it's a Stefano Di Pieri. I hope I'm pronouncing the gentleman's name correctly. This is from Cellar Masters, around $20 a bottle. What this guy does is he seems to bring Italy to Australia and, you know, using Australian soil to grow Italian-style wine. Now, what I've got here is a Shiraz crossed with a Sangiovese, and honestly, it's an amazing blend, and it's something I'm surprised others haven't done before as well, or maybe they have, and they're just not pronouncing it well. So this is Australia saying g'day to Italy by bringing their vines here and doing a fantastic job of it. I put it in the fridge about 20 minutes before I served it. Somebody asked about the whole fridge thing last week. Quick tip, white wines, put them in the fridge, take them out 20 minutes before you serve them. Red wines, put them in the fridge 20 minutes before you serve them. So that 20-minute rule, whites take them out, reds put them in. That's one thing to remember. Check this one out from Cellar Masters. It's probably one of my favorite reds that I've had from them. I'm very impressed by this. I'm going to need to get some more. Guys, we've got a huge show, and I'm going to tell you straight up, this is going to be full of tech news because there's so much this week. Now, first of all, Motorola. They're bringing back the Razr. I and many others would have known about this flip phone when they maybe first got their first mobile phone. I'm not going to talk about smartphones, their first mobile phone. It flipped, it shut with a beautiful thud. It was an amazing device, and for many, it was the thinnest device they'd ever seen. Now, Motorola bringing this back, they're not just bringing back a thing that has a screen and a keypad as we used to see. This is a foldable phone. And what I mean by that is you think about the Galaxy Fold, which has this massive tablet-sized screen. Imagine maybe the Galaxy S10 that folds from the top. So this is a horizontal fold rather than a vertical fold that we see on the Samsung Galaxy Fold. So Motorola Razr, it's a smartphone, a 6.2-inch display, I think it was. It's a 21:9 style aspect ratio, so it's going to look like a very tall iPhone, for example, but then it folds in half. And when it does fold in half, you've still got a 2.5-inch display on the front. Small enough, or I guess big enough, to at least see notifications. It's still touchscreen, so you can still interact with it. But what I love that they've done here is that front bit that you've folded down is where the rear camera effectively sits. But when it's closed, it's actually now your front-facing camera as well. So you could make use of that small screen to take a selfie, and it's a 16-megapixel camera. It's just a single lens, which for me is a little bit concerning and tells me that they've done some cost-cutting, not multiple lenses that we're seeing on every other smartphone coming out now. When you flip it open, another single lens camera on the inside to take selfies. It's only about 5 megapixels, so it's not that great. The resolution of the screen is about 1080p. And I'm actually looking at this thing thinking that most of the investment on this device is in that screen technology. When you think about the type of phone, even the processor and things like that that's inside it, not high end. None of this is high end, except the fact that it's got a foldable screen on the inside. So I think it's going to really appeal to those who want the nostalgia back and perhaps actually want a large screen smartphone. Look, 6.2 inch display is not small, but they want to be able to fold it so it fits in their pocket better. The other thing I'm going to say as well about a phone that folds, it means that when you put it in your pocket, you're not going to be so concerned about what else is actually sitting in your pocket as well. I know that when I put my iPhone or whatever it is into my pocket, I'm always thinking about putting it with the face of the phone or the glass of the phone resting against my thigh, whereas I want the outside, you know, protruding out, which means if I've got, I don't know, my AirPods or something else rattling around in my pocket, it's only scrubbing the outside of my device, not the actual screen. I think having a Motorola Razr actually means that you're protecting that display as well, and that's a really cool thing. I'm very curious to try this. It's going to be $1,500 US. This is going on sale in January, the beginning of January, and it is coming to Australia. We've had an announcement from Motorola in Australia saying it's coming. The price will be high, $1,500 US. You're probably going to be looking at around $2,000, $2,500 maybe in Australia. We have no idea. I'm still concerned that I don't think it's very feature-packed. I think we're going to love the device, but we're going to say it costs too much. Always going to be that early adopter fee up on this device because it folds and it's so cool. Would it be enough to actually make you flick over that kind of money though? I don't know. I just want to see it. I'll talk to you all about it. If you're interested, I want to know. Let me know what you guys actually think. I'm just fascinated. It's so cool, but would you actually buy one? All right, we also saw in the news this week, and it literally dropped today. A lot of this stuff is happening right now. Google is announcing Pronounce. Now, this is really interesting. Say, for example, and I've done this many, many times, where I Google a word. Let's just take the word quokka, for example. Quokka is like an Australian rat. It's like a half rat, half wallaby. For anyone who's not in Australia, it's this weird looking thing. Apparently, people take selfies with them. Now, a quokka, if you just type into Google how to say quokka, it will actually show you the breakdown of how to say it in text. And there's usually a button that you can click and it reads it out to you in English and actually tells you quokka in a machine style voice. What Pronounce is doing though, is it's actually then allowing you to practice and actually say it back to Google. So it will actually sound out when you click that button quokka. And then if you click on it, you can then say quokka back to Google and it will actually give you feedback as to whether you got it right. So maybe let's use another word like Kilimanjaro, maybe a bit longer than that, like a word that's longer than that. And it will tell you whether you've actually said it correctly or not, which is really cool. So you can actually always practice your language skills with Google. And I'm thinking about this not so much from English words, considering that's the language I try to speak. I'm thinking about this more from if you're learning a language like English, God, I said English again, maybe Japanese or Spanish or Italian, and you think, okay, well, let me see if I've got it right. And rather than be embarrassed or whatever it is by somebody else, you just practice with Google because Google kind of knows. They kind of tend to know all this stuff. And when you can actually rehearse pronunciation with them or pronunciation, there you go. There's or aluminum or aluminium. I mean, there's heaps of words where people get things differently. That's okay. Potato, potato. I don't know. So this is really cool. Google's going to be releasing this this week. It's literally under embargo. At the time that I'm recording this, I'm not allowed to be talking about it. But by the time you're hearing it, you're allowed to be hearing it. So it's quite interesting and I feel really awkward about it. But Google Pronounce, do check it out. I'm curious to try it myself. I've also been playing along with a pair of headphones. Now, you've heard me talk before about the Bose 700s and the Sennheiser Momentums, and they've been really impressive headphones at this $599 sweet spot that they both seem to be competing in. And then a company called Bowers & Wilkins. Now, many of you would have heard of these. They have been around for a very long time. That's what they do. They do audio. They don't really play around in any other areas. What do? They make really good headphones and they make really good speakers. And this particular model that I have been sent is the PX7 $599. Who would have thought? Now, I'm really enjoying these. And I'll tell you the reason I'm enjoying these is because, A, they're comfortable, natural. However, the biggest thing is they're not packed with other features that distract you from just enjoying what you're listening to. It doesn't have a trigger for a Google Assistant. It doesn't have your Amazon Alexa built in. It doesn't have all these touch-sensitive controls. It's got your simple buttons. It's got your noise cancellation control, your volume. You could take calls on this device. Yes, it's Bluetooth. Yes, it does noise cancellation. It'll give you 30 hours of battery life with noise cancellation on. So you can imagine, fly to LA. That's about 11 hours. You could fly back. That's another 11 hours. You've still got battery in the headphones. Now, if you took a really long flight and you had to recharge it, 15 minutes of charge gives you 5 hours of battery life, which is so cool that you could literally plug it into your seat while you're sort of cruising around on the runway. And then before takeoff, you're almost ready to go again with heaps of charge. This is something really cool. And honestly, the sound on these is fantastic. It's a very natural sound. I may have mentioned that word before, but everything just feels beautiful. And when you're listening to music, it's just a really lovely experience to have. And I'm enjoying them at $5.99. It's a very hot spot right now. I love the Bose. I love the Sennheisers, and I'm really enjoying this Bowers & Wilkins. I think it really comes down to what you're doing with these devices, how you're planning on using it. Some people love the assistance built in. Some love touch controls, and some love that really huge style fit that the Sennheisers offer as well. And then again, you've also got looks. These are pretty much all black. They look very, very simple. They're not going to get fashion awards, and it just says Bowers & Wilkins on the side. You look at those Bose ones, mine, which I've got, are in silver, so they're a little bit shiny. They do make a bit of a statement. Those Sennheisers, they're a bit chunky. They're a bit more ruggedized. That suits certain people's styles. So if you're in the market, man, you've got some choice, but honestly, that $5.99 sweet spot, going above that for me seems too much these days. Going below that, you tend to lose out in terms of audio quality. So if you're looking at a new pair for Christmas, maybe you've got some Qantas points to burn, things like that. Yeah, $5.99 is your place. Check out the Bowers & Wilkins PX7s. They do have others as well, but this seems to be the one that I had to put up against everything else based on price. Now, we also had news this week from Apple. Now, they seem to almost be on a once every fortnight making a little announcement here and there. This time, it's the MacBook Pro. Now, for a lot of people, they know that there's a 13-inch model and a 15-inch model. Now, they've added the 16-inch model because that extra inch was all that people needed. Now, I'm very surprised by this, and I was looking at the specs of this device, and it was very clear immediately that Pro word that they do stick on the end of MacBook, yeah, there's a pretty good reason for it this time. And this time what we're looking at is a laptop that starts from about $3,500. It's very expensive, but it's expensive for a reason. The processing power that they've thrown into this device is next level. If you're a programmer, if you're doing heavy web design or video design or image editing, whatever it is, you're going to be frothing at the mouth about what this thing can do. The other thing as well is they've added a ton of storage as well, and you can actually spec this thing up to have up to 8 terabytes of storage in this laptop. So we're talking about super, 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 super high-end. I did mention the price already. I don't have a lot to say about this because, to be honest, I'm not really trying to talk to a bunch of pros here. If you are somebody who is actually interested in this device, there's probably going to be somebody who's going to test this in a way that really appeals to you. I seem to be looking at things from a general consumer point of view, and I'm very honest in that way, in that this type of product, as much as I love the fact that they've thrown so much power into this device, what I won't do is pretend that I can really tell you that it's the right way to spend $3,500 if you're a video editor or whether you're a, you know, whatever it is that you're using on these things. So I think it's amazing. I would love one. Heck, who wouldn't want a laptop that's got all the power in the world and still has an 11-hour battery and can actually fit into your laptop bag? The funny part about it is, and I will say this real quickly as well, it's a 16-inch display. However, the bezel is so thin that it actually isn't that much physically larger than that 15-inch model. So it's one of those things that if you are in the market for a larger screen laptop, what Apple has at least done is made it so it doesn't mean that you have to have this huge slab in front of you. They've actually taken away some of the bezels so that you can actually still enjoy a somewhat portability factor in this machine as well. So it is really nice. I'm not going to review it. I'm not going to ask Apple for a product and sit through the briefing. This is definitely for somebody else and definitely not for me. But if you're interested, do check it out and start researching. I just wanted to let you guys know that there is a new MacBook Pro available, and it's got 1 inch more than the 15. Something really, really cool that I did see this week from Kaspersky. Now, I've spoken about them many times in early podcast episodes around their internet security and things like that. But what they've announced is an anti-drone technology. Now, This is fascinating because we always hear those warnings about not flying drones around airspace and things like that. Yet, I think it was Heathrow or something like that in Europe where, you know, we had drones almost colliding with planes. They had to shut down the airport. There were some real problems around it. So Kaspersky's been working with some companies to come up with this device. Now, it looks like a turret. It looks like something that you would see in some sort of modern warfare type game. But imagine this small turret that sits on top of a building or somewhere near the Air Force or Air Base, whatever you want to call it. Airport is the word I'm looking for. And it scans the area. And if it does detect a drone, it sends the location of that drone, that data, into this server. And the server goes, oh, yeah, there's a drone. It's this type of drone, whatever it is. And then it actually uses, I'm going to call them lasers, to shoot back at this drone. And it doesn't actually shoot anything physical. What it's doing is it's jamming this signal between the drone and the person piloting it. So the person's obviously holding a controller of some sort. It blocks that signal. And then it allows this anti-drone turret to effectively raise or lower the drone. So you could actually land it from where it sits, which means that if it's in an area where it's causing a problem, they use this turret to zoom in on this thing, block the current signals, but then take control and bring it down to the ground. It's incredible. It's happening. This is not just prototype stuff. This is something that actually does work and is being tested. I think it's fantastic, and I think it's a really important thing, and I would expect that all airports will almost implement this as a mandatory thing. But it's almost sad that we've had to do it, but I think it makes sense. Even if everybody is aware of the rules, there's always going to be someone that's stupid and decides to go ahead and use their drones where they shouldn't anyway. I just think it's so cool. It's amazing that Kaspersky is doing this. You know, a lot of people look at them and think of them as a brand that they're on computers, they're on your phones, they're just trying to protect your endpoints. But in this case, they're protecting you if you're sitting in a plane that's trying to land and there's some idiot flying a drone around. Kaspersky is going to be looking after you there as well. It's just really, really cool technology. I'm amazed. When I first heard about this, I had 1,000 questions around, well, how does it really work? And I got sent this beautiful diagram that just talks me through the whole process. There's a lot of geniuses behind this. There's a lot of technology to make this work. But you have to go online and just type in Kaspersky anti-drone and watch the video. It's so damn cool watching them with this device. It looks like a turret. It just looks so cool. But check it out. Kaspersky anti-drone. It's fascinating. We heard from Hisense this week, and it was really interesting. Now, for those who aren't aware, Hisense sell almost, I think they're one of the global largest sellers of televisions. They are seriously going gangbusters when it comes to TVs. They sell so many units, it's ridiculous, mainly because they provide a really good bang for your buck. I mean, that's one of the things that they just do really well. And what they have done this week is they've announced an 85-inch television for $4,200-odd recommended retail price. Now, obviously, that price tends to fluctuate and things like that, but at the RRP level for an 85-inch 4K TV, that's something really impressive. And I think for a lot of people, if you're looking to get the biggest TV that you can for your money, this one's going to be one you're going to be checking out because of that $4,000 mark. It's a pretty great spot to be landing. However, while that's the RRP, I had to do some research. I mean, I just had to open up a browser and type in, I don't know, JB Hi-Fi, Harvey Norman, literally any website where they sell televisions. And what I quickly did find, though, was that I could get an LG 86-inch for less. I could get a Sony 82-inch for less. And this is something that's a shame because while these two televisions I just mentioned, the Sony and LG were announced in January, which means they've got some, I guess they're a bit older than this Hisense model. I actually think that if you are looking at bang for your buck, knowing that you can get a very similar size TV and for less money and it's an LG or a Sony, I think I know where I'm putting my money. And the reason I'm saying that isn't because the Hisense televisions are bad. I've tested a couple and the image is actually very good. Once you're watching content, it's actually quite good. The reason I would tell people to steer away from them if you can get something for the same price from LG or Sony, for example, is that the interface of the television, the brains of the television, are far beyond what Hisense has ever achieved in my experience. Now, what I mean by that is that when you're looking at free-to-air TV, it's not in 4K. So the television needs to be smart to try and upscale the content and make it look good on a 4K display. When you're actually watching 4K content, native 4K content, they all tend to look pretty good. But when you start to factor in when the TV needs to think and needs to do some work, that's when you notice these bigger brands, or not bigger brands, these other brands like LG and Sony, actually producing better results out of lower resolution content, which, to be honest, is something we're watching of a lot still. So that's something to factor in. And I did mention the smart component as well. And for me, that means that from the remote, if I want to watch Netflix, if I want to watch Stan, Amazon Prime, whatever it is, the interface that's built into a Sony or an LG television is much nicer to navigate. It's beautiful, it's fluid, it tends to get nicer updates. There are, to me, just a better experience, a better user experience there than you get on the Hisense televisions, even down to the remote. You pick up an Hisense remote or you pick up an LG remote, put them side by side and tell me which one you'd rather be holding on to when you're sitting on the couch, and it's obvious. So I think it's great that Hisense has got a television in this space. Obviously, when it's in stores, you would expect that the price is normally reduced than the recommended retail price. And maybe by Christmas time, you'll start to see this beautiful way that the Hisense is actually maybe $400, $500 less than this alternative LG or Sony television. Then you've got a discussion to have, because then you're thinking about a soundbar that could go in place to fill that gap as well. So do have a think about it. Do check it out. I think it's important to watch televisions when you're in the store, but actually ask them to watch free-to-air content. Just don't play the generic display stuff that they put on. Of course, it's going to look good, but ask them just put on whatever the heck's on TV right now and watch that across all the TVs, and you'll notice how they do the upscaling differently. It is nice. It's from Hisense. Just don't go running at all the headlines that I've seen a lot of people do this week, and that's just to say, oh my God, Hisense has got a TV at this amazing price. And yes, they do, but the caveat there is that so do others. And that's important to look at. I've been testing a smartphone from a company called TCL. Now, that sentence has never been said before by people until now. And the reason that is that TCL make televisions. We all know TCL as a company that makes televisions. Now, this is probably their first smartphone that we've seen in Australia, and to me, this brought interest. Why did it bring interest? Well, it's got a really nice display, around 6 inches. There's no buttons on the front. It's got this simple design that I think a lot of smartphones tend to take. It's got a camera on the front, just a single lens camera. On the back, it's got three cameras. It's actually got two flashes on the back as well, in case you're trying to blind everybody in the room. But three cameras on the back. It's actually got a fingerprint sensor on the back as well, which I think has always been a really good spot to put it, because when you're holding a phone, and if you pick up the phone that you're listening to me right now on, where is your index finger? It's probably sitting at the back of the device, and that's a really good spot for the fingerprint sensor, and that's something that they've done. So they've done that. They've also got a dedicated button on the left-hand side that can be dedicated to an app or a function, and you can program that to make it how you like. You know, the power button's on the right-hand side with the volume as well. It still has USB-C for charging, and I think that's a fantastic thing, but it actually also has the headphone jack, and for some people, they'll scream delight. It runs Android, and that's all fantastic. The actual experience and the interface that they've got, they haven't played with Android too much, but where they have, it's actually not a bad thing. You know, when you open up your apps, it's actually been organized in a certain way, and you can choose to customize that. Maybe you want to have a section for socials, you want to have a section for entertainment. You can do all those things. So it's a really nice device. The kicker here is it's $499. You own the device. $499, you can actually have this phone. It's called the TCL Plex. I didn't mention the product name before. Battery life has been pretty good, getting through the day in most instances without a problem. Obviously, always depends on how crazy you're going with using the device, but for me, getting through a day is not that difficult on this device. At $499, you have to start asking yourself, what are we doing? What are we doing? It's a serious question. Next to that phone right now is my iPhone 11. I could have two TCL Plex phones sitting next to my iPhone 11 and it would cost less. That's staggering. I didn't mention, there's 128 gigs of storage inside this device too. And it has expandable memory, so you could also add even more. And you know, you think about what we're doing with our money, and why am I actually spending so much more money on a device? Why are you doing that? If you think about, move away from the iPhone and think about the Pixel 4, the Galaxy S10, all over $1,000. Maybe you and your wife, or you and your husband, whoever you are, is thinking about getting a new phone at Christmas time. Well, maybe if you're going to invest $1,000, you could both get brand new phones. You could both get brand new phones for $1,000. And if you were actually budgeting $2,000, well, maybe you can go and buy something else with that $1,000 that you've saved or put in your pocket, whatever it is that you want to do. Do we really need to be spending $1,000 on phones? More and more this year, I'm being challenged on this because I'm seeing good quality devices coming out. Now, this is from TCL. That's one example. Nokia has a whole bunch of devices from $199 upwards that have been fantastic as well. And I think they're really worth checking out. Huawei used to be so good at this space as well. I just don't trust them enough to encourage people to buy Huawei phones anymore. And I know that they may be innocent and blah, blah, blah. But to be honest, it's just not something I'm recommending to people. But if you are looking to spend $500, I think it's an actual sweet spot. Even Samsung has devices which do well at that price point now as well. I just need to start questioning people, why are you spending so much money? And it's in some ways to blame because all that we see advertised are the flagship phones. We don't see Samsung really push heavily on their J series phones. They're very good at advertising the Fold or the Note or the S10. And likewise, even Apple, I'm talking about the iPhone 11 because it's their newest device. However, they actually still sell the iPhone 8. And maybe that would be something that you could get. You would save some money, but they're not going to advertise that. So I just think people need to check other phones out. If you're after an Android phone, then it does make sense to do it. But if you're actually after an iPhone, then yeah, you're kind of limited to go only to Apple and whatever they've got on offer. It takes a lot to sway an Apple buyer to Android, and I understand that. But at $500, guys, you've just got to shop around a little bit. It's a really impressive phone, and it's hard to, you know, push this down the microphone to you guys. You do need to go into stores and actually pick them up and play. And I just encourage people to do it. And maybe you've got a son or daughter who's looking to get a phone. That could be the kind of device that goes really well for them. When they post their pictures to Instagram, they're going to look great. They're going to look great. They're not going to know that it was done on a $500 phone. I can almost guarantee it. It's just crazy. I mean, what are we doing? I just don't know. What are we doing? Something to think about, guys. I'd love your feedback. What are you really doing? Here's the question. What are you really doing on your phone that makes you think that you need to spend $1,000 on it? If it's just because you want an iPhone, I get it. And I'm okay with it. But if you're an Android user, what makes you think that you needed to spend over $1,000 for an S10, knowing that there's a J series from Samsung or that there's this TCL device that's sitting in front of me? I just want to know. And there's no right or wrong answer. I just want your opinion. Thank you guys so much for listening to this show. I know it was very much a news-focused podcast, but to be honest, there was just so much that I didn't feel comfortable talking about all these products that I'm reviewing, knowing that there was just too much I had to tell you all about, and I would have felt terrible to leave you out of the picture. Thanks again for all your feedback. Some amazing commentary from last week's episode. I'm really glad you enjoyed it. I know some of you were pointing out that I may have been a bit harsh on this new Huawei P30 or Pro, whatever the heck it's called. Who cares? It's not really going to be on sale here and no one's going to buy it in Australia anyway. Thank you again for listening. We'll speak again next week. As always, another big show. And by the way, while you're counting down to Christmas, I'm counting down to CES. It's coming up in January. Oh my God, it's going to be a big one. Catch you soon, guys. Bye-bye.